I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are you going to play that dastardly intro again?
Ow!
This movie's still fine. One of them dies, they go screw. One of them's a hottie, his name is Jay. One of them looks like Johnny Depp, and his name is Johnny Depp.
Classic Maximum Joseph.
You forget that films are supposed to have a point.
Go. Welcome along to the worst idea of all time, episode 10. Tim Batt and Guy Montgomery have just watched We Are Your Friends for a record setting, at least in their books, 10th time.
Hello, everybody.
We are boys becoming men. We are acquaintances becoming friends. We are in the pocket and ready to cook you up some thoughts.
Here they are, all in a row. The movie's done. Do you know what the thing is about the watch this week? Could have had more, could have had less. Just didn't really care about anything anymore. I was watching it, I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, give me another hour of this or end it an hour ago. Like, fucking whatever. Real nihilistic.
Yeah, sort of comfortably numb.
Yeah.
That could have gone on for another... You'd 2 hours, and you just would have been like, "This, of course,
okay,
of course, this
now, this, sure, just accepting it, you know, just taking it."
How's that going for you?
Well, it's better than getting frustrated. I think there's less energy expended, and you just don't get as upset. It's just like, I imagine it's what being on lithium is like.
This movie is like lithium.
It was just this watch this week. It's just like, fine.
What's lithium used for?
Like intense depression. It's like a mood stabilizer in very extreme situs. I'm probably being a little melodramatic about the effect of the film this week in retrospect. Once you make me explain myself like that.
Oh, that was an accident.
Well, when sure, Guy. If I've got to justify things I say, they do sound ridiculous.
I was just curious as to what lithium does. I didn't know. You said it was like lithium.
I think, I'm not sure if I've known anyone who used lithium. It's depicted quite well, I think, in the second season of House of Cards. That woman that Claire Underwood's trying to get to testify.
I haven't seen any of that.
It's a good show.
That's what the people say. People are telling me all sorts of stuff is good, and I just don't have time.
I know. Well, you do, but it's just like, at this point, it's like, oh, fuck it all.
Throw it on
fuck
the massive flaming pile of shit you like that I haven't seen yet.
Hey, I've got a question which I shouldn't ask you on the podcast, but I'm going to forget to ask you later. And this is going to turn into a nice shout-out. Where did you watch Paul F. Tompkins' latest special on? Because I looked on Netflix and it wasn't there.
I watched it on a legal... It's easy.
Oh,
to,
did you?
Easy to find in New Zealand. Oh, no. I definitely watched it legally.
Oh, no, Guy.
Why the... Oh, yeah.
This is why I don't ask you these
things.
Yeah,
this is why... Exactly why. Anyway, it was good. It was good to pay him for what was a very good professional service.
Yeah. That joke that you showed me, though, that's on YouTube, because I was able to show someone else that great dad joke. We don't need to get into it. Anyway, watch that special. So, We Are Your Friends. There we were, back again. Two plucky young gents just trying to round off a third and final season of a podcast that potentially has already been going on too long. And And there we were for another week, just us glued to a screen. During the watch this week, we had musical accompaniment at times on the bongo drums, which we shared between us. We passed it back and forward. I had a harmonica, mouth organ, for bits. I was just blowing on that, hoping for a note. And there was a bit of riffing, bit of scatting, bit of freestyle rapping in the middle of it when we got really bored.
It was all kind of plot-driven freestyle scatting, though.
Yeah, it was. It was commentary on what was unfolding on screen.
We were singing what we felt or what we wanted to see happen.
Yeah.
And what it turns out we wanted to see happen this week, unsurprisingly, just different offers from the performers. I feel like they're really trapped in their ways now, and it hasn't been working for a while, so I don't know what makes them think it's suddenly going to come right now.
Real stick in the mud.
Yeah, preferably maybe...
Or sticks in the mud.
Some more...
Is it like attorneys general?
Stick is always plural. Stick is plural and singular.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway.
Nightmare.
Yeah, just different offers. Like maybe stuff going wrong more. Maybe more stuff going wrong.
You thought there was or there needs to be?
There needed to be.
Yeah.
Just people reacting to stuff differently.
Yeah. What we targeted onto, really locked onto very early into the film is that Paige, undeniably our favourite character. And I think that will be the case for quite some time, if not ad infinitum for the duration of this season.
He brings a lot to the table, a lot of baggage. He's just an immediately identifiable character.
I was saying, like, I think the reason why he's so lovable is because you get him instantly. He's a little bit two-dimensional, but you learn everything you need to know about a character, about him, within like fucking 15 seconds of seeing the dude.
He fucks minerals.
He likes fucking diamonds. That's how obsessed with money he is and getting rich.
He cuts costs in the office by only using concrete.
Yeah.
But beyond that, he's just motivated by money.
He likes looking flashy.
And he's older and therefore more interesting than like 4 23 or 4-year-old boys who are just sort of like all
420.
Yeah, that's right. Who are just pretty much out there going down to the beach and smoking weed to talk about their problems.
The 420 fuck boys.
420 fuck boys in a room vaping on weed pens.
Good God. It's disgusting. But it's a surefire hit at the cinema. Imagine if the movie was just that. You saw these four dudes riffing and scatting inside of a room, getting baked.
That sounds like a...
For 90 minutes.
A web series.
Yeah, but this doesn't really sound like a movie either, you know? The actual movie that got made doesn't sound like a movie.
The one boy trying to become a DJ, three guys along for the ride.
One bright boy, our man, from High School Musical, Sokole, trying to become a DJ in the... crazy, hedonistic, drug-fueled, sexy world of Los Angeles, California.
You've just made it sound like a movie.
Yeah, I have.
You've got the green light. Absolutely. Let's make this thing. I'm really excited to see how it comes out.
Yeah, true. So am I.
You came up with a pretty funny nickname for... and also a good sort of observation towards the end of the film when you noticed that the character of Zaccoli... Is known as the crying DJ.
The crying DJ, yeah. Because he's, like at that party, which we'll get back into as well. Do you know what I'm talking about? That idea we had?
About
how to amp up a party?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Let's just bookmark that for a second. But when he's at that party, he's having a good time. He's just been hired by James Reed from The Feelers to play a weekend gig, earn a bit of pocket money. He's doing a little afternoon pool party. And it's all going well, and he's fucking rocks the D floor. He gets them.
He absolutely gets them on the hook. The party is going ballistic.
And he's having a good time. Everyone's having fun until he sees James Reed get into it, rightly, with his girlfriend, Emily. Sophie? What's her name?
Emily in real life.
Oh, Emily's her actual name. Gotcha. And they're dancing all close, like you do when you're a couple. And he looks like he's going to fucking cry about it. He's like, geez, man, pull yourself together. And then he kind of does it like a few times. There's another time as well that isn't just in the end, but there's another time when he looks fucking intense. Oh, it's when he's bloody wigging out at the music festival. He's not DJing, but when he pashes
Yeah.
Old Emily.
He feels a lot of emotions.
Yeah, but he feels it all by looking like he's going to cry. That's how he expresses any emotion. He does it at the end. But it is a pretty good gimmick to go around the club scene and be like, oh, fuck, I heard of that dude. He's the crying DJ.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, you're on uppers and you're dancing real hard with music, but he's just crying.
He's supposed to be kind of like the whole instigator and leader of this good time, but he's the one crying the most.
It's like he's sacrificing his happiness for us to dance. He's the club scene Jesus.
It hasn't been a real party in downtown LA. Unless a DJ cries for the last year, it's emotional, it's human, it's tribal.
That's what Maximum Joseph and Zac Efron thought they were creating when they introduced Zaccoli, the crying DJ.
Maximum Joseph was not sold initially on this idea either, because he had written a whole damn movie with Oppenheimer that was based around a different character, and Zaccoli's like, you know what,
I can do a happier DJ.
I can cry. Pretty much at the drop of a hat, he's showing off his acting skills,
and all of the 420 fuckboys get an opportunity to show off their acting skills in this film. You've got
talent quest, guys.
Johnny Depp can whistle.
Yes,
they use it to great effect twice. Have you seen the toilet? It's wee. And then Jarhead can do backflips, which they kind of stiff Jarhead across the board because they give him really ruthless cuts. To make his character look like an absolute fucking idiot. Like early in the movie when he's like, you know, 90% of people want to be at the party. 10% are the party. You got to freaking be that. And then immediately the next he's like, my body's 80% water and I'm thirsty. It's like, why is he obsessed with numbers? Is this Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind? And the other thing he can do is backflips into a pool. And so when he rents the house and they get the pool, he's like, backflip into the pool. And then the next shot, it's like, we're at the party and he's trying to impress some girls. Backflip into the pool. It makes him look like such a
weak... just a two-dimensional character. All he can do is backflip. He's like those toy dogs that you press the back and a spring-loaded mechanism fires and he does a backflip and legs.
All he can do is backflips and then talk about exactly the number of backflips he's done.
I've done 300 backflips and I've landed 200 of them. Success rate is 66%. You got to be that.
I've done 300 backflips and I've slipped a vertebrae and I am in pain.
What is Skrill bringing to the talent quest?
He's a maths whiz. He's always talking about numbers. He's talking about numbers when they're trying to rent a place in the booth. He's talking about numbers when they're getting hired.
Quick fucking math. Do fucking math.
It's good fucking math, kid. I'm Paige, the only interesting character in this movie.
How we doing? I'm loosely related to Steve, former mayor of New York. Entrepreneur extraordinaire. Made some dictionaries. Maybe you heard of him.
Made a big name for himself in New York. He's not allowed in the... California State right now on account of some of the underhanded shit he did.
Got turfed out. Boys didn't like it. Didn't like it none. There I was, minding my own business, getting my rocks off on tour rock, if you know what I'm saying. I fuck diamonds.
Yeah.
He's obsessed with minerals. Concrete, diamonds. It's all he's about.
Is concrete a mineral, Tim?
Nah, it's not really. It's a compound of sort of minerals, though. A rock, like just stones, like rocks and stones, gravel. That's a mineral, isn't it? Everything. If I've learnt one thing about the format of 20 questions, it's that everything is a vegetable or an animal or a mineral.
There's
and
nothing
between those three things. Stones and rocks and concrete, definitely mineral.
I see. So there's three types of things in this world.
There's three things in the world I believe in: animals, minerals, vegetables.
Everything else is an abstract construct of the human mind.
One I fuck. One I eat and one I make friends with. And it's not the order you think.
Oh, that's good stuff.
It's like fuck, marry, kill, but he's kind of got it all confused.
So we've got Zaccoli the crying DJ. And the other thing that occurred at the pool party when he's earning a bit of pocket money to get out of the goddamn San Fernando Valley and stop eating so much raw poison fish. That's why these boys' fingers are getting webbed. They're not eating healthy fish, all right?
The boys' fingers are getting webbed.
Yeah, absolutely. All
dang,
the,
missed
you gotta,
that.
Yeah, you got to look closely. All of them are getting slightly, as the movie goes on, they get like slightly webbed fingers.
I don't know why, but I trust you're completely right about Jarhead having webbed hands. I feel like I've seen that in the back of my head, but not Zaccoli. He's perfect. He's a perfect human specimen.
No, they start getting webbed fingers and they start getting scales on ooh, their fingertips.
Eesh.
It's weird stuff, but that's an all an aside to what I'm trying to get to.
Well, hold on. Because generally poison fish doesn't turn you into a fish. It's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle style or Spider-Man style.
Exactly.
Radioactive fish from Fukushima.
No, they don't import their fish on the west coast of California, do they?
No, but it's all that shared Pacific Ocean with the Japanese.
The nuclear leaks finally reached the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, dog.
On the Californian coastline.
And now we've got to deal with 420 fuckboys turning into fish all of a sudden.
Only in the San Fernando Valley, which is why they think it's the best sushi in the Western Hemisphere. And everyone else is like, no one goes to eat sushi in the valley. That stuff's poisonous. It'll fucking ruin you. And they're like,
the same guy who's like, hey, this heroin, it's the best stuff. It's so yum.
Yeah.
It's delicious. Heroin's great.
Everyone's like, you guys, your entire suburb is turning into fish people. And you keep eating so much sushi. Anyway, that is all an aside to the point I'm trying to get to.
Which is
at the party. When Sophie, we've got to come up with a name for her. We're sort of straddling between the two options, and it's a disaster zone.
Somalie.
When Somalie comes up to Zach and is like, this party's looking a little stiff, Cole. And Cole looks around, and he's like, what are you telling me? I need to amp it up. And she never confirms it. He just takes that idea and puts it upon himself.
She pouts meaningfully. That's her default setting.
And so he's like, you'd say I need to amp it up. Question unanswered. He doesn't give an opportunity for that question to be answered because he just brings out something so massive, so unspeakably huge, that you cannot argue with the fact that this categorically amps up the party. What does he bring out, Tim?
He brings out a chainsaw and a hockey mask. A la Halloween, I think. Oh, no, yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And he revs the chainsaw. Yeah. This is a lovely afternoon's party.
Yeah, and he's it's not hired. An electric one. It's a proper petrol one from days of old. Where it's got the big old ripcord and you've got to get it started.
And he's just totally lost perspective on how weird this is and how jarring this would be for everyone else at the party. And he starts quoting Job from Arrested Development, running up to them with the chainsaw going, everybody dance! Everybody dance now!
And someone's like, dude, I think you should put down the chainsaw. And he's like, oh, okay. Oh, the guy with the chainsaw is going to listen to the guy who doesn't have a chainsaw.
Yeah, yeah. And then Emily...
Come on!
Somalie is like, Zicoli, that's not what I meant when I said to amp up the party. And he's like, so suddenly this is too much for you, is it?
And then you know what happens after that? He starts fucking crying as his goddamn trademark at the decks. And everyone's happy for it. Because the crying DJ's here all of a sudden. Like, before it was some crazy murderous dude. And now it's like, some soulful, teary DJ.
It's an extension of his crying DJ persona where he also hires out different improvisational characters.
Yeah.
So you get the crying DJ and you also get one mystery character.
Yeah.
Who he breaks out into in the middle of his DJing set.
And to be fair, he did amp up that party. Like, mission accomplished.
Yeah, you can't argue with facts. It did fuck the energy completely. There's a lot of uncomfortable people.
That's what he's all about as a DJ. You know, he's like, it's the push and pull. It's about locking onto people's heart rate with getting a song that's 128 BPM and then amping that shit up. And add a chainsaw to the mix. Have a cry.
Yeah.
Jizz on them. Whatever. It's an emotional clusterfuck.
He's legally safeguarded himself because on his website he advertises his DJing skills as unforgettable. And I mean, you can argue with whether or not people enjoy it, but no one soon forgets the experience you have when you get Zicoli the crying DJ at your party.
Fuck yeah. Good shit. I'd hire him just to laugh at him.
But yeah, I guess the thing is, the only way to escalate it, because if everyone knows that he's not going to do anything that's actually going to fuck with you, it's kind of like, oh, well, it's obviously scary, but it's not terrifying because you know he's not going to touch you. So the only logical answer is he has to start, like, you know, taking fingers and stuff.
What do you mean? Like, actually taking them off? Chainsawing fingers off?
Yeah, like one in every 10 parties.
Nah, dog, I don't reckon that's what's up. You know how... It's like if you go to those, like, Nightmare Maze things with the spookers where they hire, you know, struggling actors to dress up like scarecrows and freak you out. But there's, like, rules.
Have you,
like,
been there?
No, I haven't. I've heard mixed things about those. I've heard that some of the actors are, like, they go too far.
I could believe that. If you were doing that, I'd go too far.
Would you?
You're like, if I'm trying to freak people out, I'd be like, I'm going to do what I can to freak these people paid for an experience. I'm going to give them an experience. Someone might be a big Hollywood producer. They might hire me for my work at Spookers.
But I guess the one parameter
I might be working
is...
the haunted house at Universal Studios. You know, I put my head down, I work hard enough, I could work my way up this thing.
That's how Matt Damon got his first gig.
Is it?
He was a dressed-up scarecrow, and he went too far. But luckily, the person who was in there who he was touching up was Jerry Bruckheimer. Started hiring him for shit.
Is that what you mean when you say they've gone too far? Like they start grabbing the...
I think that's the only way you can go too far. Well, there's a couple of things you probably could
I was thinking more psychological.
Well, psychological is all good, but if you just start yelling like racial abuse or something, that's not in the...
No, that's not in the handbook. Yeah.
That's not in the spirit of it.
You're not going to impress any big Hollywood producers with your bigoted worldviews.
That's not scary either. It's just hateful. But it's kind of an interesting wrinkle to throw into one of those Halloween style things.
Just blot, like what? Just blind,
threaten some hate
fury.
Crimes. Just like, what the fuck, man? What is this guy doing? Jesus!
You can't be offended. I'm haunted by it. I'm haunted.
But anyway, I think the big sort of no-go zone is touching people. You know, like I just think, no matter how scary you want to be in one of those environments, I think the key rule is don't touch anyone, and that's. From what I've heard from mates, where people go too far when they actually start grabbing people, and it's like, no, you're not allowed to do that.
Well, of course you're not.
Yeah, but they do, because they go too far.
Is that why you haven't been to Spookers?
No, it's not.
Because you're a little chicken.
I just don't like
cuckoo ka-cha! Cuckoo ka-cha!
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Has anyone in this family even seen a chicken?
I don't even have a massive desire to go to theme parks, just in general, you know.
Do you like roller coasters?
Yeah. I haven't been on that many.
You don't love
them? Been on a few. I don't know. I used to like them.
They're fun, man.
Are they, though?
Yes.
I guess so. I guess they are. I told you about when I briefly developed a fear of flying, eh?
No.
I went to the Royal Sydney Easter Show, which is like the AMP show. Or for our American listeners, it's like a county fair. Nailed it. That is what it's like. So I went there with my mate Nick, and we went on one of these rides that's like a whole bunch of kind of octopus arms out from a central pole, and they've got a couple of points of articulation, so it's kind of like a hand with like a wrist, if you think about it like that, and there's about 10 or so of them. And then at the end of it is a harness, a similar kind that you get on a roller coaster where it just comes down over your shoulders and locks you in, right? But your legs are free, there's no chair, so they strap you in.
I like where this is going.
they strap you into this thing, and then they like press the button, and it just throws you round and round and round. But it was like, this thing was fucking terrifying because it can do all this crazy shit because everyone's roughly the same size as a human, where it like will get your harness and move the arm in a particular way where it starts throwing you at the ground. So you see the ground coming at you at a really fast velocity and then pull out at the very last moment. And the whole time, because your legs are just wiggling around, you feel like you're going to hit the central pole when you're like squirreling around. Anyway, I went with my mate Nick, who is he's a tough dude. Like, the guy decided to buy a whole bunch of really expensive camping gear so he could just go bush for like 3 months by himself. I bought him a hunting knife for his birthday once. He used to be in the army briefly. You know, he's a tough biscuit. And he was like, you know that hysterical kind of laugh screaming you do when you think you're legit going to die? He was doing that. And we got off the ride and we were very shaken, both of us. And then the next thing we went on was a Ferris wheel, like a slow moving, like the Eye of London kind of thing, but way smaller, obviously. And on that, I was wigging out. Like, that's supposed to be a nice little ride that we went on to kind of just be like, okay, time to chill out. We were on that wheel. I was like, fuck this. We are so high off the ground. This would have been cool 20 minutes ago and I can't handle it. And for about 2 years after that, I got real nervous flying. And only recently has sort of left me.
I'm glad you overcame it. It's a terrible thing, a fear of flying.
It's no good.
But you've got to appreciate I found that highly comical. That reminds me also of a time my friend Oscar and I, it's a similar story, but different. We went to the A&P show in Christchurch, which is the same county fair sort of thing. And we went on a ride called the Gravitron, which is this, like, it looks like a space, you know, a stereotypical spaceship.
I know this one.
It spins
you
around really fast to the point that you can sort of flip, like, you can move around and you can be upside down.
The centripetal force pins you to the wall. Yeah.
And we were on it. And we were both sort of pinned and upside down or whatever. Well, I was upside down and Oscar was facing up and he wasn't really enjoying it.
Oh, no. Poor bugger.
So these experiences aren't for some people. And he's up against the wall and he's lying against it and he's not really having a very good time. And then this metal bar that's loose on the middle unit or console comes flying off and hits him on the head.
Oh my God, are you serious? Holy shit.
And he throws up across his own body.
Oh my God.
So he's pinned against the wall with vomit on his shirt.
Having just been duffed in the head. So he's freaked out in the ride, then gets duffed on the head, then vomits on himself. Fuck, that is brutal. Oh, you poor boy. Oscar, you poor boy.
The shirt he was wearing was a brand new shirt. It had, by Rusty, a very popular surf brand, it had dragons on it, and he'd been bragging about it the whole morning.
This can't be the Oscar I know.
This is exactly the same Oscar you know.
Boy, he's come along in his life.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Fuck.
Shit, man. How proper did he get duffed by that bar?
Not concussed.
Because that's the kind of thing, if that happened in America, there's like a multi-million dollar lawsuit.
We were like 11. We were like, whoa, what a crazy ride. On to the next one.
And then we got candy floss.
Yeah.
Just another wrinkle in the day.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. That was funny.
Fucking hell. So anyway, back to the film. There was a bit that you said at the time.
Back to the film, my darling.
Remember this bit, because this is going to be my no but today, which is the bit in the podcast where we guess where in the movie they improvised a scene.
And there's many of them. But
Did you remember the one that you were thinking of, or is that gone? Will it have to wait for next week?
That's gone until I see it again. Mm. But when you see it, it's unmistakable.
Yeah.
But the one I did find is when Zaccoli finally, he goes for a big run, he gets lost, he finds way back home, he makes a track about his experience of getting lost while going for a run in your neighbourhood.
Mm.
He tells James Reed from the Feelers about it. James Reed says, all right, you're back on. And then he goes and he tells Jarhead, who's sort of just resigned himself to working on his parents' house.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's his life.
He's working on a bit of 4x2.
And Zaccoli walks up to him and says, I'm playing Summerfest. And then steps back and he's like, okay, this is great. This is the opening of an improvisation between me and Jarhead wherein we can talk about what this means for us as characters in the movie. And he goes, I'm playing Summerfest. And he takes a step back and then there's like a second silence. And then 2 second silence. And you can see in Zaccoli's eyes, he's devastated that this improvisational scene is not.
He's letting it hang.
This offer has not been accepted.
Yeah.
And then eventually Jarhead says,
"That's great, man."
I was like, "Congratulations." And then they both just stand around and they're
like, "Same."
Yeah.
I can understand why Maximum Joseph would make the decision to impro that scene as well, because these boys, as we all know, like every other Hollywood film, this film has been shot chronologically. This comes near the end.
Always.
So these guys are very familiar with their characters. And he's like, "You know what? I know my limitations as a writer. I think I've given you enough clay to work with here. I want you to mold a scene and I will breathe life into it by filming the thing. Go." And fucking Zaccoli gets in there hard and fast with a good old offer. And Jarhead blocks it. It's devastating.
Yeah,
it's
and it's
sad.
It's what the
saddest... not all of these improvised scenes are going to work. You know, not everything can be an a cappella version of Santeria by the Pool.
That's right. Not everything can be a shared breakfast of room service after you banged all night on the hotel bed. Or so we're led to believe. I mean, we never actually see it happening.
That scene really sticks out because there's a lot of this film where actually, to the editor's credit, a lot kind of gets done in a short amount of time in terms of communicating what the fuck is up. Especially the opening of this film. It's like, boom, 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 pacey. That scene lasts for like 30 seconds of screen time or something. And it's just, you get literally nothing from it. You don't get further plot development. You don't get any additional character.
No, but
they kind of undo
they
work
need it.
Already
they
done.
Need it because it's like it's an emotional, like, handle that they can hang, like it's meant to be an emotional, like key point for the movie, because there's nothing else happening. It's like the fact that these two people care about each other, we don't know what it means, but let's just sit in it for as long as possible, because it means we don't have to worry about all the other scenes not making perfect emotional sense.
What Maximum Joseph has done is he has rented a copy of Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet starring Claire Danes and Leonardo DiCaprio. And he's mirrored that scene where I think it's when they first meet and they're kind of like playing little games across the aquarium, you know, while that beautiful song
is
playing.
Only seen the trailer, but I know what you're talking about.
You still know the shot, the scene, the sequence. And he's just trying to emulate that in that bit where they're like running all over town and then booking into a hotel set to that dance track that's all fucking talking about love and stuff. You don't, like, that's a fine, capable, whatever job of creating some emotion simply by relying on the music to do all the heavy lifting and then just shooting a bunch of bullshit like a music video. You don't then need to lay on top of that this fucking See, this is the thing. You take away music at any point in this movie and the scene fucking falls apart. That bit is just like this, not underwritten, but not written at all. Improvised bullshit scene where you actually not only add to the film but you undo characterization and the emotional crescendo that you've built up through this musical montage.
What is
it? I'm saying the editor should have cut it out, to quote Uncle Joey from Full House.
I'm not saying that they made the right choice by leaving
and
it.
I'm painting you into a corner for defending this terrible bit of the movie. So go, guy. Defend it.
All I'm saying is, you know, you reach a point when you're making a movie like this where you're like, well, we've got to leave some stuff in.
That's true, actually. The duration is not huge.
Which is great. Which was, I'm going to be honest with you, the main draw card of watching this movie. That fucking gorgeous little runtime.
Oh, that sweet little runtime. Beautiful, sexy, tight little runtime. Measuring it at a what? Like 96, a whopping 96 minutes or something?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's a boy. And what a boy. That's the umbilical cord. Did you have a shining light, Tim?
Yeah, I do actually. And I've seen it in the movie lots of times, but it hasn't been my shining light yet. But I love it every time. When our boy Zaccoli is at the PCP party and he's going into the drug-fueled like kind of dream sequence just before the rotoscope is fully kicking in, there's like, you know how there's those flashes of him and like in one he's passing a girl
yeah.
and he's drinking and he's got like his arm around James Reed from the Feelers. Yeah. And it's kind of a POV of someone else who's at the party because it looks like they used a Steadicam or something. So it's sort of like quite a cool, trippy thing. There's this particular expression, this face that Zac Efron pulls off, and it is just so recognizable of like drunk good times.
Yeah.
He's kind of got almost, he's almost like got his tongue hanging out of his mouth like a dog, kind of biting it a little bit and just waving his head along to the music. Totally inebriated, totally removed from being concerned about what other people think he looks like. And I'm like, I fucking have been there, man. I know that feeling.
He captured it for you.
Yeah. It's there for like a just a split second, a few frames, but it's I reckon he did a great job of that micro expression.
Tip of the hat to you, Zaccoli.
Well done, Zaccoli. You're a bright boy, you're a brave boy, you're a clever boy.
Introducing a second emotion to his
drunk
considerable range.
Yeah, it's a hell of a repertoire, crying and drunk.
They're two good ones to have, you know, up your sleeve. Absolutely. on any movie set.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Have you got a shining light?
I'm going to be honest with you, Tim.
I gave you a while to pad for time.
I did not. Most of the shining lights were just things that we, like, moments we grabbed out of the movie and made our own. Like, for instance, when Paige, they're at Tanya Romero's house, and she shows them the papers. She got, I got sent this from the bank the other day. Oh, I found this on my doorstep the other day, and hands it to Paige, and Paige's like, oh no, this is covered in raccoon blood. Oh, you're in big trouble now, lady. Just, he says, oh no, brilliantly, and then there's a silence where you could insert anything that's on the paper.
Because there was more to that. When you said that while the movie was playing, you were suggesting that the raccoon blood-soaked note was a sign that a gang had targeted your house.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They're using raccoons as quills.
Yeah.
Or as the, what is it, the ink pod? What are they called? Well, the ink well.
Mm, it is well. Pod is such a modern word. Well is old-timey.
Yeah.
Well, well, well.
Well and quill. So your favourite bit of the movie was a bit that did not happen in the movie.
It was Paige saying, oh, uh-oh.
Okay, but only because of what you could add to that in your head?
Yeah, well, it was the moment I probably enjoyed the movie most. So yes, that's a shining light.
Jesus Christ, that is bleak considering we're going to watch this thing 42
times.
Hey,
no man, double digits.
Oh yeah, here's to that.
It's a big birthday.
Yeah, it is.
There's no cake.
I'm keen.
It's just you and I.
I said this to you during the watch today, but I'll say it for everyone here. I feel like we need to start throwing a little more toppings on this thing at this point. I think we're pretty in there with the movie. So I think we need to like get out in the field and do some weird shit.
Gladly.
For some watches.
Let's watch it at a nightclub.
Yeah, that's a depressing idea. I'll do it.
Yeah, and we'll record in the nightclub too. It'll sound terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love that. Okay, done.
Excellent.
Good shit. Okay, well, there you go. That's how you make something that you can't back out of. You put it on a podcast and let everyone hear it. Good shit. I'm pretty happy to round this up.
Well, I've got fucking heartbreaking news for you, Timbly Wimbly.
What?
Old Spindly Timbly Wimbly and his spindly memory banks. You got no money in the memory bank, mate. We've got to go all the way back to Los Angeles, California. We've got to get inside James Reed's beautiful apartment. Well, it's actually a house. We've got to go into his fucking living room.
Yep.
He's got to come out of his back room or cupboard under the stairs with a bag, with a MacBook Pro box inside of it, and say, getting sentimental with James Reed. Remember how loose we used to get when we'd sing Patti Schwartz Party Time?
Yeah, that people was miss it. Yeah. I'm getting a lot of listener feedback coming and going, just give me one more, man. Give me one more of those. It's not going to happen here. Maybe on the friend zone, but not here. We're siloing that shit off. In fact, we already did one. We did one a few weeks ago on the friend zone.
Yeah, but I was in
it was a Skype one.
Yeah.
It was trickier. Okay, well, Guy, seeing as how you, I feel like, really copped out of your shining
light.
Yeah,
gladly, man. I'll tell you exactly what's in that fucking box. Great. May have gotten a little sentimental. They said I'd get an opener for Summerfest. What's inside that box, Tim? A very, very expensive bottle opener. He says to Zaccoli, "You got a job. I'm going to be crushing beers and crushing chicks at Summerfest, and you're going to be opening all of them for me. Only the beers. Only the beers."
The phrasing
came out way wrong.
Phrasing.
Yeah. It's just so pretty much he gives him a very expensive can or bottle opener. And he's like, "I want you to bring a backpack full of chilled beers. I'm going to be fucking caning it on the main stage, and you're going to be plying me with booze."
Oh, that is how you destroy an apprentice.
He's like, "This is my version of sentimentality. I'm a fucking alcoholic. I've got a real problem with emotional
you're my bottle
connections.
Bitch.
Yeah, and you are my bottle bitch. I think that's what friendship is."
Dang. So he's making him a glassy for Summerfest.
That's his version of getting sentimental.
That sucks. And that was Getting Sentimental with James Reed. You didn't come with me on that one.
I was thinking of how I could insert the words Patty Schwartz, but it wasn't possible.
Nah, it's not going to happen. Not this week.
Get out of it! Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. This episode was brought to you by Big Pipe, presumably.
Yeah, that occurred to me halfway through.
Well, if we do it now, it's sort of burying the spot.
Isn't it?
Unless we say that we're going to do a Patty Schwartz party time at the end of the read. Which we're not. But if we say we will, and even say we're not, you'll still stick around to maybe hear it.
I'm confused by what you've just said. I can't imagine what the casual listener of this podcast would be thinking right about
now. Can't imagine what the head of advertising at Big Pipe is thinking right now.
Oh, okay. We'll do one then, eh? Join Big Pipe. If you live in New Zealand and you love the internet, if you fall into that Venn diagram, which really should be pretty much everyone who's a Kiwi, that is.
True Kiwis Big Pipe. Love the internet. It used to be camping and rugby, but now it's all about internet and videos.
We've moved on now, folks. Go to bigpipe.co.nz. They'll give you a sensational deal on some of the fastest connections in New Zealand. Bloody quick speed. I don't think anyone tops the plan that I'm on for 200 MIPS up and down. You'd be hard-pressed to get that in America, bro. You know how we used to bitch about our internet speed in New Zealand because we were like one of the worst in the OECD? We're not that bad anymore. Big Pipe is taking full advantage of their infrastructure. They're maniacs.
Good read, Tim.
Their plans start from $69 a month.
Great pricing structure, Big Pipe.
And you can get fiber from them from $79 a month, which is pretty cheap. And the plan I'm on, which is unlimited, 200 MIPS up and down, is only $129 a month, which ain't bad. At all. I challenge you to find a better priced, better connection. It's a fool's errand. You won't be able to do it. If you sign up, use the code WORST. It lets them know that we sent you. Are we good now?
Yeah, man. That was very professional.
I'm a professional man. Makes me sound like a gigolo.
In a professional world. And I'm a professional boy.
And on that musical note, thank you so much for joining us again. We will be back soon in the friend zone, which I don't mind if you skip over. It's up to you. But I hope you stay on board these big, regular, juicy episodes of us watching We Are Your Friends. Zuccoli's one-time hopeful ticket into a serious role with indie cred and cool people in the movie, but what actually turned out to be one of the largest box office bombs of the last 5 years. That was Guy. Goodbye, everybody.
Are you going to play that dastardly intro again?
Ow! This movie's still fine. Zaccoli,
one of them dies, that goes screw. One of them's a hottie, his name is Jay. One of them looks like Johnny Depp, and his name is Johnny Depp.
Classic Maximum Joseph.
You forget that films are supposed to have a point.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.